He established our going. He sets our feet upon a rock, a solid rock. The Holy Ghost is here right now. Today is your day for a refilling of God's Spirit. Today is your day of renewed hope. Today is your day to be in power like never before, to conquer every demon, to conquer every situation, every circumstance that has tried to kill you this past year. God told Adam, the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. And death signifies separation from the will and the Spirit of God. So absolutely the devil has tried to kill your spirit. He tried to kill my spirit. That's what he does. But let me tell you right now, God is with us. And if God before us, then who can be against us? If God is on our side, there is no devil in hell that can stop us from progressing and being all that God wants us to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. Brother Haddock, I appreciate your help. Get the slide up for me. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 20. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we are going to begin at verse 20. As our custom is, if you have strength, please let's stand for the reading of the powerful word of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we're going to begin at the 20th verse. Someone just shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Woo! I don't need to ask you twice. That was awesome. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel. Who had done many acts. He slew two lion like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff, little old stick. And he plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. I want to preach to you this New Year's on this message entitled, Defy the Odds. There are so many things out of your own mouth that we say are stacked against us. And there's so many things that we say that justify our actions because of all that we go through. And that might be true. And Vegas has their statistics and people behind the scenes searching out all types of information to set the lines and the odds, especially, of course, during this playoff season. Go Chiefs, hallelujah. I'm making up for last time I knocked you guys. My Bears are playing too. And sometimes an individual has to look at all the things that are stacked against you. All the true facts that are lined out that show there's no reason why you should even consider yourself being victorious in dealing with what you're dealing with. But the Lord sent me with a word to tell every one of us here today, with all that being said, defy those odds in the name of Jesus. If you want to defy some odds, I want you to lift your hands right now in your voices and say, I'm going to break some stuff down in the name of the Lord. I am going to walk the way God wants me to walk. I'm going to talk the way God wants me to talk. I'm going to proclaim the victory that God wants me to have. I'm going to go higher than I've ever had before in the things of God. And I'm going to defy every odd against my life in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands as you're seated here in the house of the Lord. African-American track star Wilma Rudolph suffered a scarlet fever, whooping cough, and measles, survived infantile paralysis, and required a leg brace until she was 9 years old. But yet she went on to win 3 Olympic gold medals and was considered the fastest woman on earth. I think looking at her in that photo there, and if you saw her at that age, you would never look at her and tell her one day you are going to be called the fastest woman on earth. There is so many issues that you have in your physical physique that already disqualifies you from being able to do what even healthy people are not able to do. But there was something on the inside of this young girl that says, I don't care how it looks like in my life. I am making a decision before I ever put the gold medal around my neck that I am going to defy some odds. Let me tell you right off the onslaught, I'm not trying to hype you up in one sense at all, but I'm trying to create a mindset in this church that before you ever get the gold medal, you're already envisioning it in your spirit that no matter what's stacked up against you, your mind is made up. I don't care if I don't win. I'm going to run like I know that there's something inside of my soul. Helen Keller went blind and deaf as a toddler. You know this, brother. But was still able to learn sign language. That fascinates me. How can someone who is deaf and blind learn something so complicated without a visual in front of them? But there's something that you have to have that goes beyond sight, and it has to be deeper, and that is vision. Which means I don't have to see it in the natural to believe it in my spirit. And there was something inside of Helen Keller that says, I know I don't hear the sound of it, and I certainly can't see it, but I can feel something is going to happen in my life. And there are so many people that want to count me out because of what I've been in and what I've been through. Oh, but if there's anybody here that says, I choose to defy the odds, I choose to make up in my mind I will be something. She learned to speak, to read lips with her hands. I can't read lips. If you tell them right there in front of me, I wouldn't even know what you're talking about. She went to school. She earned a bachelor's degree, which was rare for any women at that time. So when you have a belief system, you do extra stuff that other people aren't even doing. Even though you feel like you're an underdog. Is there anybody here that says, I'm about to start doing stuff that even other people can't do because it comes easy to them. But I don't care if it comes hard. My mind's made up. I'm progressing to what God has in store for my life. And I choose to look at all the facts, and I'm going to defy the odds because God is on my side. And God is stirring something in my spirit. And there's a fire in my soul that I cannot shut it up, like Jeremiah said. As a fire shut up in my bones, and I believe at Lighthouse Church there are a few men and women that says, I want to defy every odd, every lie of the enemy, and say, this is my hour and this is my day. If that's you, clap your hands unto the Lord. When Cody McCaslin was born, Doctors told his parents that he had an incurable disease and wouldn't survive more than a day. That's when he started beating the odds. Cody miraculously survived, but at the age of 15 months, he had to have both his legs amputated. And when he got his prosthetics, his parents were told that it would take him a while to be able to even use them. He started walking the second day he got them. In fact, he didn't just walk. He didn't just crawl. He didn't say, I'll just do the bare minimum because the odds are stacked against me. He said, devil in the spiritual realm, you're a liar. I'm ready to run this year. I know it might feel like I've been back and behind, but I don't care. There's something inside of me that can't sit still. There's something inside of me that's stirring up. There's something inside of me that says, I choose to defy the odds. I'm going to pick myself up. And I'm going to run the race like I have never run the race before. Are there anybody here like Apostle Paul that says, let us run this race like we run to win it? And right now he dreams of being in the Paralympics. And he's well on his way. He's already won numerous swimming and racing competitions. And not only that, but Cody also talked when his doctor said he never would because he only had one vocal cord. If you could only say it in the key of C, then say it in the key of C. You might not be able to sing like Tasha Cobbs or Tamla Mann or anybody in this church, but there has to be something that says, I don't care what my limitations are. I don't care what holds me down. I'm going to defy some odds in the name of the Lord, and I'm about to move forward. Is there anybody that says, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready to defy some odds? This year in this church will be a year about defying odds, stepping out in faith, walking in courage, breaking chains, breaking cycles, stepping into new places because of a desire that is within us, that everything arises around me. That is something so strong in my spirit. And I pray it almost daily. God, I want everything around me to rise. My prayer is for you all that so long as you are connected to Brother and Sister Barlow and the Barlow family, your life can only be blessed. Am I being prideful? Am I being arrogant? No. I'm just saying there's something in me that God says, I want you to get it out to other people. But what I got is the Spirit of God. And the same thing you got to have as well, that everybody connected to me is going to go higher. You're going to have that same mentality. If you're around me, you're going to go higher. If you're around me, you go be blessed. If you're around me, you will not be the tail, but you're going to rise and be the head. I don't care what's against you. We're ready to defy some odds in the name of the Lord, and we're saying we're going to go higher. I said we're going to go higher. When I say rise, I'll give you the definition of it. It is from a lower position to a higher position. It's not rocket science. It's where I am right now, but I'm not going lower. I'm moving up. It means to come or go up. It also means to get up from lying, sitting, or kneeling. In 2018, many of us have been lying down because of the pain and the brokenness and the hurt that we have felt. We've been bruised and we've been hit hard in so many ways, and we sat still for a while, and sometimes it's needed. But this is a year that I believe somebody is ready to get up from your lying position. There's somebody ready to get up from your sitting position. There's someone that says, I cried long enough. I'm wiping my tears and I'm ready to rise and go higher. You know what it also means? It means to be restored to life. Some of you, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost, God's about to put a new smile on your face. Every smile you've been given, you know, have been a fake forced smile. But I prophesy in the name of Jesus that when you arise, the joy, I
said the joy of the Lord is about to be your strength. And the song you go sing, even if you're in a cage, it won't matter. You're saying, I know I'm coming up. I know I'm going higher. I know God is restoring my life.
And then there was a definition. I didn't even know it was in there. I said, I got to say it. It says to cause to be submissive, obedient, or peaceful. You are saying, I am not going to allow negative things to dictate the joy in my life. I'm ceasing to be submissive. I'm ceasing to being obedient to what the natural feeling comes in my negativity. If somebody hits my toe, I naturally say, ouch. But what I'm trying to say is an awful illustration that even if I get hit in the toe, I'm not going to submit. I'm going to keep on running. In fact, I'm going to run a little bit faster now. Oh, I wish there would be some hungry people in this place that says, I'm so tired of being submitted to depression. I'm so tired of being submitted to anxiety and worry and fear. I'm so tired of being sick and tired. I resist that in the name of the Lord. I'm defying the odds. I'm rising up. I'm going to get up today. It's not just for myself. I want everything around me to rise. There are men. There are husbands. There are fathers in this place that want to rise up so that their wives, their children, and those they have connection to can rise up as well. Rodney, Devin, and Jaden, you can only go as high as your mom and dad, but I promise you, we are going to rise. Why don't you go to your home and your area of influence and say, I'm not rising for myself, I'm rising for you. Why don't you turn to your fellow saint and say, I'm going to go higher so you can go higher. Y'all want to hear me? I'm going to worship harder so you can worship harder. I'm going to create an atmosphere of prayer and of praise so that when you come in here, you can feel the glory of God. I'm ready for somebody to say, it's going to start with me. Rise to the tide, and everybody around me will feel the force. Oh, somebody raise your hand right now and say, Lord, let that flow come out of me. I said, pray, come on. We're going to pray. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some women, some wives, some mothers that are here that want to hire and rise higher in order for their families to raise up. Now you got to hear the faithful words. In your health, there are so many people that have health issues. And in no way, shape, or form is Pastor Barlow insinuating or implying that it's because of lack of your faith. I'm saying exactly where your health is, everyone around you is not going to tell. Now, I don't mean that by you cannot show physical pain and you cannot show the symptoms of your issues, but there's something that you're rising higher in that says, look at me in my pain and watch me worship God. Look at me sick and tore up and messed up and I don't have an answer, and watch me praise God like I lost my mind. Watch me rise up. And I want to tell somebody, that's what God is looking for. Some individuals that says, I got some issues, but yet I will praise him. I got some problems, but yet will I glorify him. Strength is about to rise. Peace is about to rise.
Prosperity is about to arise. Healing is about to arise. Deliverance is about to arise. Revival is about to arise. With the principles of God's word flowing in my life. It's not happening because I'm screaming it. Yes, I'm energetic, but it is not happening because of the level of the volume of my voice. It's going to happen because there's been a prayer room I've been in. It's going to happen because there have been some plates we passed by. It's going to happen because there are some secret borders of our lives that we say, Lord, we believe. I love reading my daily word, and I love coming to the promise that Abraham got. And God says, as long as you believe it, you don't got to do everything right. Just say, yes, Lord, I am fully persuaded. Is there anybody here in 2019 that's fully persuaded that you're going to go up? Is there anybody here in 2019 you are fully persuaded that you ain't going to be the same? Are you fully persuaded that things are going to get better? I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in the word. Is there anybody here that can just shake their head and say, I know I don't have it all together? If you see my life scripted on that screen, you would agree. But that don't matter. I got a word in my spirit. I got a word I'm going after. I got a word in the depths of my soul. And so long as I got the word, I'm going to keep on worshiping God. We have a church right here that's ready for effective ministry. You say, why do we change stuff up? Why do we mix stuff up? Have you ever been in any meeting with me? I tell you, there is a method to my madness. I pray with all my heart that this church never gets stuck in tradition. I want us to be okay with being led by the Spirit, that we can change things on a dime. And we don't get all frustrated about it. We say, let's flow with the Holy Ghost. Let's be led by Him. I'm going to tell you, our Wednesday night services are going to be a little bit different. We're not going to just show up week after week on Wednesday nights and sit in a pew and get spiritually fat. We will exercise our gifts by leaving the house of God and going out to the highways and the byways and say, you ain't going to come here. That's all right. I'm coming to your house like Jesus told Zacchaeus. Oh, today salvation has come to your house. I want to tell Independence that the Lighthouse Church is coming to your house because there are men and women in this house. I said there are men and women in this house that says, I'm going to defy all the odds, all the statistics, and we shall be the light of the world. And I'm excited about it. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. I'm a very organized person, but it's not coming by organization. I'm a very methodical person. It's not coming by methods. It's by somebody saying, by your spirit. How is it going to happen? The only answer I have for you is a simple answer. Plug into the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God can't fail. Spirit of God cannot fail. God is not a loser. God's a winner. So we will be effective in ministry. We will be dynamic in evangelism. And let me say it loud and clear. The only pastor of this church is me and my wife. Before, look, there ain't no issue right now I'm addressing. I'm being proactive.
I'm not thinking about nobody. I'm not thinking about, but I'm telling you right now, it is not your job to correct anybody in this church concerning dress code, mindset, attitude, faithfulness. Come on, let me, amen. That's not your job. That's not what God called you to do. God called you to pray. God called you to lay your hands in the name of Jesus and call on God. God is calling you to pray, not to pastor. So in advance warning, if you think it's your job to find some new convert, get him in a corner and try to tell them what they need to line up in, you're wrong. And I will call you out on it. The majority of you have not seen me angry, but you want to see me angry? Talk about a new believer. Talk about somebody who's trying to grow in God. Talk about somebody and gossip about them and tell them that they're not where they should be. Well, probably you ain't either if you're watching them, because God called you to pray for them, love on them, be patient with them, and let the Spirit of God do the work that only the Spirit of God can do. That wasn't in my notes, but there it goes. We are all anointed to turn our world upside down. I said we are all anointed to turn our world upside down. I see a room full of disciples that are going to make more disciples. They're going to multiply themselves because there's something inside of you. I got to defy the odds. I'm tired of the ordinary. I want to make a difference. Past few months, I've been so intrigued in the study of the man in the Old Testament named Benaiah. And I studied it and I said, the way that this person is presented is to look at his life, not from my point of view, but from the perspective of King David. Because that's the one who took note of him. It was at the end of David's life, King of Israel, that began to expound on somebody that was instrumental in getting him where he was. Are you with me? David was at the end of his life, seeing the blessings of God upon him, but in reflecting in his life, he had to take time to notice, I didn't get here by myself. I'm young and now I'm old, but I've never seen this righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. And so in my moments of contemplation of where I am now and how God has been good to me, I have to take time and look at a man in my life called Benaiah. And I believe that David began to expound on him because I believe that Benaiah was someone that probably most reminded himself of himself. There was something inside the spirit of Benaiah that David could relate to. In Benaiah's beginning, he was a humble person and he had a humble beginning, but he became mighty. David appreciates that I don't care what your past has been. I don't care what your beginning has been. But there's something I saw in Benaiah who had a humble beginning, but yet became mighty in God. And so what David was trying to say is that no matter what your past is, if you're about doing the right things right now with the right amount of time, then I want to tell you there is a present and a future blessing that is on its way to your house. I don't care how bad you messed up, even in the last 2 months, I tell you, the Holy Ghost, that God still has a plan to raise you up and to call you a mighty man of God. He was with David when David was in distress and running. Who is going to be somebody that can find somebody who is distressed and running and say, I'm still willing to link up with you. So many people want to and love to jump on bandwagons. Watch it as the playoffs unfold. Fans are going to start showing up out of nowhere. But Benaiah is saying to somebody, and I hope you hear it at Lighthouse Church of Independence, and all of you listening in the Facebook world, I want to tell you, it's not time to join the church. We're about to dedicate a new building. It ain't time to say thank God for all he's done when there's $1 million in the bank account. But is there anybody this year that says, when my pastor or people in the church are in distress and even in their lowest moments, that's when I'm going to arise? Oh, I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying. Is there anybody here that says this ain't going to be a year of finger pointing and finding all the problems? That's what I'm not about. I'm about saying I'm going to fill in the hole. I'm going to make a difference. Come on, David. I know you're called. Come on, David. I know you're anointed. I'm going to join up with you and we go watch what God's going to do. And somebody stand on your feet and say, I'm counted among those that will walk even in the lowest moments of a church. What? You may be seated. Made him so famous. What made him so famous is something that caused him to do something different than what others would expect. Everybody has a certain level of expectation about you. It's human nature. You have expectations from people in your life. At whatever degree levels of relationship you have with them. You have expectations of your boss. You have an expectation of your employer to provide certain things for you. Husbands and wives, you have expectations of each other. Parents to children, you have expectations of each other. Friendships you have built along the years, relatives, you have expectations of each other. But sometimes those expectations sometimes will be things that limit you. And people think that you can't rise up in certain situations. And so Benaiah saw himself and he was in situations where the odds were against him. Scripture says that he went down also and slew in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. He said, I'm going to defy the odds that are against me. But before I go into that story and stay with me here today, I want us to first notice that there was something great he had done before he ever killed the lion. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Listen to me. If we are going to defy the odds, then the first thing I want to tell you is that we can't look to what we've already accomplished and be content with it. He had no business in that context with fighting a lion because he had already killed two lion-like men. And some people walk with God and some people made progress and now they don't have to do anything else because they've already done what they are supposed to do. But Benaiah said, I don't care that I've already had great victories in my life. When the next thing comes, I'm ready for a new victory. I'm ready for a new challenge. Is there anybody here that understands what I'm saying? I know you've done great things in God, and I'm glad about it, but don't you dare sit on a pew and get satisfied, and no more prayer, no more worship, no more fasting, no more lions. I say the devil's a liar. I say rise up and do more things in the kingdom of God. I say rise up and say there's more that God wants from me. I refuse to allow my former victories to stop me from going after new victories. Are you satisfied with yesterday? Keep going.
Keep going, Lighthouse. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Moab were a group of people that were born through incestuous relationship. Hear me. Moab was a group of people that were born through an incestuous relationship because Lot's daughters thought the end of the world had come. God had spared Lot and whoever would go with him. And it had only been himself, his wife who turned back, and his two daughters. And God rained fire and brimstone down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But the reason why Moab even had a birth in the first place is because there were some women, and I don't mean that derogatory towards women, I'm just saying two ladies in the Bible, they had a worse case scenario mentality. And because they had a worse case scenario mentality, an incestuous relationship was born, and Moab was the product of that situation. I want to tell you there are things that will be born in your life this year that you don't want to be born if you keep on having the worst case scenario mentality. You will birth things that are going to try to destroy your life. But there has to be somebody in the name of Jesus that says, I refuse to be like Lot's daughters and think the end of the world has come. I refuse to have that old negative mindset that worst case scenarios are going to happen. No, I defy the odds. Yeah, I know there's a whole bunch of bad news out there. Yeah, I know there's a whole bunch of drugs and problems and perversions in the world. Yes, I know it's all kind of demonic influences that will try to influence it. I don't care. I defy it in the name. Yeah. Of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? You keep feeding yourself all that negativity. I choose to believe in the report of the Lord. I defy you, devil, and all your lies. I know how bad it is out there, but where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And the grace of God is going to conquer sin, death, hell, and the grave. And it wasn't one lion-like man. It was two. It shows if it's not one thing, it's going to be another. What are you going to do in 2019? It's going to be one thing, and then it's going to be another. Are you going to say, well, I've already killed the one lion. Why, lion like man, why does it have to be another one that comes my way? Stop sucking your thumb and say, every lion, come on. I'm going to keep licking you. I don't hear what I'm saying. And you go keep going around in the same cycles. But for somebody that's ready to break out of a cycle, I don't care how many lion like men come my way this year. I defy you in the name of the Lord. Get something in your spirit that says, I defy the odds. Satan is depicted as a roaring lion in the New Testament, seeking whom he may devour. Who are those? Those that are intimidated by his roar. Scientists tell us that the roar of the lion is there to establish his territory. How many of you are sick and tired of the devil trespassing his territory? If you don't know what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to anger you this morning. I'm trying to upset you this morning. I'm trying to get you to shake your head and say, enough is enough. Devil, I'm tired of your weak roar, your fake roar in my life. I'm tired of you crossing over my line, over my territory, over my mind, over my spirit. Someone defy the enemy right now. I need some Holy Ghost filled people to break some stuff in the spirit right now. I need you to pray in the Holy Ghost. The devil has held on to some territory for too long, and I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm ready for somebody to slay every devil, every lie in the name of Jesus and say, shut your mouth, devil. So we come to the part where he is famously known that he went down in a pit in the midst of a time of snow. I'm not being sarcastic, but when snow happens here, some people refuse to get out because snow is a hindrance. Snow is something that has to keep you where you are. Snow is something that says, that's my excuse to not engage. When snow shows up, it's an easy way to get out of pushing beyond my comfort zone. And so here we have a man that sees something. And the first thing it says in the scripture is that he went down into a pit. Think about that. He went down. Why would anybody go down? A pit is usually made like a trap, which can likely mean that this lion has been something that has already been terrorizing the community for a long time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This lion was something in their own personal lives that kept them feeling terrorized. This lion was something in their particular situation that kept them locked up in their room at night. It was something that did not allow commerce to go the way it should. Now, we can't go out right now because we know there's a lion on the loose. There's something that is hindering me from reaching my full potential. Am I talking to anybody here? There's something that is a barrier in my way. There's something that have been in my mind, in my spirit, that I haven't been able to shake. And so they made a pit because there'd been something for a long time terrorizing them. And so when that lion finally became vulnerable, which I believe prayer has been going forward, and the lion has become vulnerable, there's still some action that still has to take place, even though the enemy is vulnerable. I talk all the time about momentum in a church and what could have happened to that community if they just let that lion sit there and fester like that. It probably could have got out. But when momentum is moving, that's when you got to start flowing with the momentum of the Holy Ghost. This is a moment where you're digging like you never have before and saying, I'm going to go down, which now watch this. It represents that he had to now humble himself. If you want to be exalted this year, the first thing you got to learn is humility. Stop trying to be right all the time and get your point across all the time and say, I'm going to humble myself before the mighty hand of God, and then God is going to exalt me. I tell you something right now in the Holy Ghost, if it's going to be you having victory, it will be dependent upon if you know how to get low and humble yourself and bow down before the presence of God and go down into stuff you don't want to go into. But is there anybody here that says, I'm ready to go down into some mess in order for God's blessings to start to flow in areas that have hindered me before? So he goes down, and the enemy knows if we're not willing to go down and humble ourselves, he knows he's going to stay alive. God resists the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. God is not saying get everything right. God is saying recognize when you're wrong and make it right. In January, before you start praying all those prayers, you better first humble yourself. You better first get some things in order and not be in a hurry and say, I gotta take care of going down first. Number two, he slew the lion in the middle of a pit, but it was snowing. The word is, you're going to have to fight in worse conditions. They hold the Super Bowl in places where there's good weather and there's a dome in there so they can control the environment. No. If you're going to win this year, you're going to have to learn how to battle when the conditions are not right. So many people do great exploits for God
and they toot their horn real loud when everything is fine. But if you're going to be a real winner in this year, you're going to have to say the conditions are the worst they've ever been. My money's so messed up more than they've ever been. My health is so messed up more than ever. My home is a total mess. And in that messed up environment is where I'm going to start to shine. Oh, somebody need to get that word right now. The devil's been telling you you can only fight on sunny days. The devil's been telling you that you can only fight when you've been praying, I've been fasting, and everything's going right. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost that this is a year I'm going to fight the devil in the middle of a pit. I don't have that much room to operate. I got a whole bunch of mess around me. I can't get the grip on my footing. I keep on slipping. I keep on messing up. But guess what? I'm a fight when the conditions are not right. I'm going to war when my world has been turned upside down. I'm going to fight in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. Right now, it seems like the enemy has the advantage. The odds are in the favor of your enemy. The chances of you really winning and being victorious in the natural are actually slim. People watching saying, man, that was a good guy. I love me some Benai, but Benai ain't coming home for dinner today because he's fighting a battle in a bad place in bad conditions. And so if people were betting, men and women, they were betting on the line, I guarantee you. People are betting against your failure. There are people that would love, would have joy to hear that you backslid. You know those people like that, so-called Christians like that, that would be happy that people they have been connected to, that if they're not the ones influencing them, they wish the best on them. I don't care whoever y'all leave. If you leave this church, I'm still praying for your success. I'm still praying the blessings of God upon you. I'm praying the favor of God upon you, because hell is hot and it's going to be there for a long time. But there are people that are betting against you. Well, how about you get a backbone and say, I'm going to defy the odds. Somebody stand on your feet and get angry and say, no, I'm going to defy every lie. I'm going to defy everybody praying against me. I will win in a pit on a snowy day. My conditions might not be right. Oh, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This is your year to kill your lions in a pit in the worst conditions. Win. Defy the odds. When everything's stacked against you, win. 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 I close with this thought. The last thing, he slew a good-looking Egyptian man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand. He went down to him with a staff. The weapons in their hands and the natural seem unfair, seem tilted. And sometimes it seems like the onslaught of the enemy seems like in the natural so much greater than what you feel like you're carrying. You want to know why? Because you know yourself. Right. Hear what I'm telling you. Right. You know what's in your hand. You know how fragile you are. Yes, Lord. You know how mistake prone you are. Yes, Lord. You know your story and how many times you failed. So you already feel like you're going into the battle already losing. Am I talking to anybody today? You want to go fight, but you got this little bitty staff. I'm going to go far, but I'm not equipped the way I think. I'm not as strong in my possessions of what I think I am. And so, yeah, I want to go forward, but look at the weak things I possess. And that was in the natural.
What God is trying to do is wake us up to the supernatural. And the supernatural says, I got this staff in my hand, but I'm still going to go forward. And devil, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the tools that you're using against me, and I'm going to snatch it out of your hand. If one thing that gets me angry at my knucklehead kids is that if I'm passing them something and they snatch it out of my hand, boy, I will back. This life. That is an insult for somebody to snatch something out of your hand. Eric, you're laughing because you know it's true. Some of y'all would lose the Holy Ghost if somebody snatched something out of your hand. I got a witness right over here. And the Lord is saying, I want you to learn something in the spirit from what the man Benaiah did. Benaiah says, yeah, in the natural, I don't feel like I'm equipped. But that don't matter. This year, I got a spirit of snatching inside of me. And I'm going to start taking stuff out of the devil's hand. And everything that he's used to attack me, I'm going to take that thing. I'm going to say, come on, bring it. And I'm going to take that thing. Y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. I'm going to take the very instrument of the devil. I'm going to take everything he's throwing my way in my home. And I'm going to take it. And I'm going to use it to kill him. I'm going to say, everything you're using against me in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to get full of God's power. And I'm going to snatch it. And I'm going to walk in victory. And devil, I'm going to kill you. You can play the music. So what is the thing in your life that the devil is using to beat you up with? What spear is in his hand, if you're honest, in your life, that he whoops you with it? A new year? Are you going to keep letting him smack you up and down your head? Are you going to keep him making a mockery of you? Or are you going to say, I'm going to come exactly as I am. I'm not much. I don't have much to offer. But God forbid, in this year, he go hit me with that thing again. Is anybody ready to snatch some stuff? Lift your hands right now in the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands right now and start saying, no more, devil. I'm going to start defying you in the name of Jesus. I'm here to declare. No more devil.